The Capital Area Dental Society brings to you The Drill Down. We're your hosts, Dr. Shwetha Ramanathan and
Sarah Carter.
Today's episode dives into the heart of team management and office culture. Our guest is Dr. Alex Otto, co-founder of Kids Tooth Team and Alkin Dental Cooperative. With experience in 17 different practices and a drive to build a scalable, patient-focused pediatric dental brand, Dr. Otto brings insight from both sides of the chair. Dr. Otto, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
So for our listeners that aren't familiar with you, can you start off by telling us a little bit about Kids Tooth Team and Alkin Dental Cooperative?
Yes, I'd love to. Yes, so Kids Tooth Team Pediatric Dentistry is our personal brand of pediatric practices here in the greater Central Austin and actually now Michigan areas. And so it was something that my husband, Tim, and I, who Tim is not a dentist, that is literally what his business card says, is Tim Otto, not a dentist.
Not a dentist.
Everyone, we're in Texas. Everyone assumes when they walk into the office that if it's me and Tim standing next to each other, even if I'm in scrubs and a scrub cap and have my lips on and have my name badge that says Dr. Alex, Tim's like in cowboy boots. And they're like, Dr. Otto, can I ask you?
I think I might need to put that on my CADS business card too.
Not a dentist.
Not a dentist.
Yes, affiliated with dentists. Yes.
I play one on TV. That's
exactly. We basically started Kids Tooth Team and Alkin Dental Cooperative together. A little bit on our background, I was a general dentist for about 5 years before I decided to go back to pediatric residency. I did a GPR in Denver, practiced in a like true corporate setting in Denver for a little bit, realized pretty quickly it wasn't like the right fit for me. And I did love treating kids when I was in dental school and my GPR. I just wasn't sure that I wanted to go straight into pediatric residency right after dental school. As you guys know, it's like you're in so much debt. Mm-hmm. I think it was like, you know, $400,000 in debt when I left dental school and my GPR. And so I was like, you know what, I'll just be a general dentist for a few years, see how it's like to like, you know, maybe treat kids in my practice and see if I like that. And so I found a practice in Denver that is a pediatric office. There was 3 or 4 board certified pediatric dentists, and they took me on as a general dentist. Train me to think like a pediatric dentist, like have the elevated skills. I did our sedations. I did our IV sedation cases along with a dental anesthesiologist, and realized that I really did love pediatric dentistry. I love the fast pace. It was something that I knew I wanted to spend my career doing. At that time, Tim was in a Fortune 500, kind of really fast paced corporate job. He was traveling like 200 days a year and like moving up the ladder in this company. And got a big promotion that moved us to Dallas from Denver. And so we moved on to Dallas in 2015. And I continued to work as a general dentist in pediatric offices. And during that time, worked in a really big group practice. They had 10 locations throughout the Dallas area and really kind of honed in my skills, realized that, again, I love pediatric dentistry. This is what I wanted to do. But every day I'd come home from work and, you know, talk about the customer service and the leadership aspects of dentistry and running a business. And, you know, Tim and I would talk about what it would look like if we did something like that together and sort of developed, without even realizing what we were developing, the basis of Kids Tooth Team and now Alkin. And after 5 years of doing that, I literally made a Prezi presentation. I don't know if you guys remember Prezi.
Yes, yeah.
I made a Prezi presentation and sat Tim down one day after work, and I poured him a very large drink, and I said, you're not allowed to talk until I finish my presentation. And I sat down and made him watch this. And it was basically, I wanted to go back to pediatric residency, which made no financial sense. Having been a dentist for 5 years, he's in a corporate job. Like, we would have to, make no money. And, you know, so after the presentation though, he got the picture. We realized that we really could build something really special and unique together with our skill sets. Him having an international MBA, degrees in finance and management, me having worked in all of these practices, and then to also have on top of that the skills of a pediatric specialist. And so, yeah, applied all over the place and ended up picking the program in Anchorage, Alaska for me to do my training. We sort of fell in love with the idea of moving to Alaska, living there for a couple of years. And then I really loved the philosophy of care and the patients that we would serve in Alaska. I exclusively treated Native Alaskan children in the Native hospital there, and just knew that they were the most high risk caries in the, you know, kids in the whole country. So I knew I was going to get an exceptional training there. And so the whole 2 years that I was in residency, Tim ended up quitting his job. We actually like literally sold everything we own. We had an estate sale of our
Was
house,
that
moved in.
scary for you guys? Like, did you have any pause at all? I know you had the Prezi ready,
Exactly.
so
I was like,
maybe
at that
less,
time, I had
but.
no idea we're gonna like move to Alaska and live in an RV. At that point, it was just, we were so excited about it. We spent, years saving, and that's what I don't think they'll realize. Like, to be able to go back, and I'd already refinanced my loans to like even just be able to financially afford to quit your jobs and go back to residency was a huge, that part was scary. And to sell everything. We didn't have kids at the time, so it's kind of easy, and you realize moving into an RV, you realize like how much stuff you don't actually need. Like, you don't need a
You're
salad
really
spinner.
living van life.
Exactly. It was really before it was like a thing. We were
More
we had our
than.
two 100-pound dogs, and it was just such, like, who gets to do this? People wait their whole lives to get to go take an RV up to Alaska. And so we felt we just wanted to like take advantage of what an cool, incredible opportunity. And so, yeah, it was way more exciting than it was scary. But there was those moments like, what are we doing? We
Yeah.
just sold our
And you
beautiful
lived in the
house.
RV throughout your residency?
So yeah, we spent 2 months traveling from Texas up to Alaska in the RV, and just took our time, stopped at all the places, like all the Tim made a stop at like every roadside curio of like the largest ball of yarn in the world, and like all those things. And then we ended up buying a house up in Alaska that was just a complete, like, we had to gut it, fixer upper, and so we lived in the RV for a while the house was getting like renovated. And I don't know, it was just like, I don't know, crazy, amazing 2 years. And
It sounds
so,
like it.
yeah, so he, that whole time I'm in residency, was studying the business of dentistry. Like, how do you start a dental practice? What does that look like? What are the demographics that would be required to start the kind of practice that we wanted to start, which was a group practice? Where do we need to live? And so, literally, a demographics report brought us to Buda, Texas. And, we basically had six or seven cities that we would be interested in living in. And Tim had this insane 100-plus line page Excel spreadsheet of everything. And
You guys are made for each other.
yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, it was crazy. And I was like, I don't even know how to read this. But, it came down to Austin wasn't the number one place on that list, as far as like a demographics report standpoint. But we knew we loved coming here. We loved Fredericksburg. We loved Austin. And so we knew this could be a place that we could be really happy. And then pair that even further down, Buda at the time, it's grown a lot since then, and there's more pediatric dentists here now, but was a really great market for us to start in. And so, a long, convoluted story of how the first Kids Tooth team opened, but we opened in the middle of COVID in 2020, which that was scarier than probably anything because we just had no idea. We've already like signed up for this loan, all this happens, and are patients going to even come? Are they going to be receptive to a new place? And turned out that it was just honestly
It's a
ended up being a
hit.
perfect time. Yeah, because people who maybe weren't happy with an existing provider used as an opportunity, you haven't been to the dentist in a year, like, let's try this new one. And we were brand new and clean and had a modern take on, pediatric dentistry. And so we grew super fast. Most startups, you're having to associate for years before you can be full time at your practice. And I was able to stop associating within 6 months, be full time at our Buda office. And then we bought a second location, an existing practice in South Austin, converted it to a Kids Tooth team in 2021, did another de novo in Kyle, Texas in 2022, I think. Yeah, 2022. And then at that time, my best friend from residency was finishing residency. She worked as faculty in Alaska for a little bit, wanted to go home to Michigan, and asked us, I really want to start my own practice. I know how much goes into all of this. Would you guys be interested in starting this with me? And so we decided to start a Kids Tooth team in Michigan. So it's in Lake Orion, Michigan, is where she is. They grew even faster with our marketing team. Like, they said this was the fastest growing practice in the whole country. She was seeing like 250 new patients a month. So she just grew, yeah, super fast. And we're starting a second location with her this year, and then also starting a
Congratulations.
yes, thank you. Yeah, we're so super excited. And then starting a practice in Pflugerville, in November. And so, and that's kind of our Kids Tooth team story. During this whole process was having just pediatric dentist friends reach out and, share their stories. Like, I'm a great dentist. I've got the clinical side of it. I'm exhausted with the administrative burdens and the HR part of running a team and all the stress that goes into the ownership part of it. and asking us if we could help them with some of these tasks. And so that's really where Alcan grew. I think originally we thought maybe we were going to have just kids to team practices, but then we realized like there's just so many wonderful practices that we wanted these practices to be able to stay independent and not have to sell out to DSOs and private equity, and also not have to go at it all by themselves and be exhausted. And so that's where Alcan was born, as sort of like the anti-DSO alternative to doing it by yourself, alternative to selling to someone. And you actually get the management support that you need. We take over HR, accounting, payroll, everything, all the administrative duties, so that you can focus on being a dentist. So I think, you know, the intent of what I think DSOs started out becoming, and then DSOs just became private equity. They're just buying your practices, rolling them up and selling them to someone else. That's not what we're doing. We don't have any private equity involved in anything. Everything is 100% owned by our doctors. And so a really cool, unique concept in the market that it's only for pediatric dentists. That's what we do best. That's what we know how to do. And so, yeah, we're really excited. We kind of opened that up. And so now we have, I think we were trying to count last night. I think it's 14 practices now that are part of Alcan. So we're in Texas, Michigan, and Arizona. And we'll probably have another 4 to 5 by the end of the year. So we're growing organically and really fast with Alcan. And so it's been really fun to see that grow and help these practices thrive and just remain independent and private equity free.
I love that story, and there's so much there to kind of pick apart. So that's what we're going to do. So I want to kind of jump back to when you were a general dentist and also kind of associating through different practices. I think you told me once it was 17 different practices that you worked at. That's impressive. What lessons did you take from those experiences? Like, I know you touched a little bit, like, you know, like some of their policies in the office maybe weren't up to snuff. And how do you feel like you're doing things differently at Kids Tooth Team?
Yeah. And Tim always says, I have to like put an asterisk by that. Like, I never was fired from any job. I worked at these big group practices and we lived in a couple states. You know, and I think looking back, I'm like, how did I, every day I'd wake up and I'd have to look at my phone, like, where am I going today? I didn't even know what practice.
I don't know how you kept your,
I know.
It was,
you said 17 and I was.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it was kind of like, you know, I'd work at a group practice that had, you know, a couple locations in Denver, and then we moved down to Texas and they had like 10. So I've worked in several single location practices, a corporate office, a small group practice, a large group practice. And I, every time I.
A lot of different models.
Exactly. And when I teach a lot to dental students and I give lectures on, you know, different kinds of practice models that are out there. And I say that was the absolute best thing for me because it gave me so much clarity on what type of practice setting I loved and wanted to create whenever I did want to start my own practice. And, you know, I didn't agree with everything that everyone did, but that just brought, again, it just made me understand and clarify how I wanted to run my practice, what kind of leader I wanted to be. You know, there were some practices that had a great culture, but no systems whatsoever in place. And some people that had great systems, but the culture was really poor. So it just made us realize that it has to be both. You have to have an incredible culture. You have to have all the right systems in place. And so that's really, you know, the blend of that is what helped us to develop Kids Tooth Team and Alcan. And I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not worked in all those practices and learned from so many people. And I'm so grateful for, you know, all those mentors that, you know, helped us to get to the point that we're here. And I'm still friends with everyone that I've worked for. And so it's really cool to be a part of that ecosystem and have worked in so many offices like that.
One thing I'm really curious about, because you have multiple locations, especially like, I know you're based out of Texas, but now you've got Michigan too. How are you managing, you know, it's a lot of people and a lot of schedules to manage and coordinate. And life is bound to happen and someone's going to call in and, you know, a wrench gets thrown into the systems that we have. How are you managing stuff like that? Is that something you're directly involved with? Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
When it was just one office, yes, I feel like I was more involved in that. Now I honestly, unless it's a doctor, I have no idea, to be totally honest. But that happens so honestly infrequently in our practices because we've just created this culture that's just not how we operate. And so people who have this pattern of calling in and being sick and having things going on, the team sort of just like, it's like inception, you know, it's like, you know, you don't fit in here. You know, we rely on each other to make sure that the day goes smoothly, so the patients have a great interaction. And so if you're calling in, that means I'm having to pick up all your slack, and that's hard. And then, So it's just one of those things that even if we're not feeling great, like the expectation is that we're there and we're showing up for our team because it's not just about the patients, it's about your teammates too. And so I
Are
think
you
that we
cross-training some of your front staff with like maybe able to see patients, take some x-rays, get at least to get the ball rolling?
as much our administrative front team really kind of stays there. Some of our dental assistants are all they can all answer the phone, answer questions, schedule patients, that sort of thing. The beauty of now being a multi-location practice is that not every office is open every day, so we can shift people around a little bit, and they're all cross-trained in the sense that all of our officers are set up almost
Run
exactly the same, so
similarly.
they can go. We're all on same practice management software, so we literally just bought an office yesterday, like last night at 11, the deal closed. And so we've been going to that office a couple weeks already. And the first day we opened, just my RDAs, my office manager had literally never been to this office, but we just walked in. They knew exactly how to greet the patients, what to do. We have that culture and those systems in place that it doesn't matter what physical space we're in almost. It's like, this is the
The
Alcan way.
same
This is
team.
the Kids Tooth Team way. And it was just seamless. No one even knew that we had just bought this practice yesterday. And
That
so it's
speaks a
really.
lot to you guys, to be able to make these transitions and make them feel seamless, for the patients, especially, which really speaks to the culture that you've created. And again, it's kind of a similar question in that having so many faces and members, team members in Alkin and Kids Tooth Team, how do you keep them aligned and motivated with your vision and, making them
I
actually
think,
like organically making them kind of like buy in?
right. And that is the culture piece of it. It really is the hardest of everything. And actually, I'm sure Tim will talk to you about this in his podcast part of it, but his whole master thesis for his MBA was on culture and how important that is. And that's more important than strategy, all the systems. If you don't have the right attitude and team culture, it's just never going to work. And so we do a lot to make that mission, our vision, not just words on paper that we hang in the waiting room, but something that everyone knows and feels and sees. And, I know we'll talk about our outreach program in a little bit, but, really understanding that like this is just all about the kids. And I think that's the easiest thing for pediatric dentistry is that if you're late or if you're in a bad mood or if you're not sterilizing things properly, the only person like the person you're hurting here is a kid, and so when you're doing it for the kids, making sure that they're safe, that they're having a good experience, by extension, their parents are having a good experience, everything else falls into place. And so, I think that we just make it super clear that like this is about our community, this is about the kids that we serve, and everything else, just revolves around that. And so,
I really like that.
and they see how much we give back to the community. They see being here. They see our outreach program. They see how much we invest in them. We do, big. Next weekend, we have a big boat party. We rented out a big boat for on Lake Austin or Lake Travis. And, we celebrate, how well, the end of a summer break. This is a busy time for a pediatric dentist office. We want to make sure our team feels rewarded and for their hard work. We have a big annual team meeting every year. There's going to be like 120 people there this year, which is crazy. And we fly in some incredible CE speakers, and it's all about personal growth and development. It's not just about like how do we get more production in the office. It's like I want you to grow as a person. I want you to
I
have
think
an
all that other
understanding.
stuff follows if you have the culture
Yes,
part.
exactly. And yeah, invest in their training. We pay for, our assistants to get their sealant and coronal polish certifications because we want them to feel like they have opportunities for growth, within the profession, but then also just for them as people too. And so I think that they, we're not just words, like we're actually putting that into action. And so I
Action.
think that's the easiest, I guess, way that we keep everyone motivated and on the same page.
What's the upper age limit on pediatric patient that you see?
You repeat, that's right. You guys froze for just a second.
The upper age limit of pediatric patients that you see.
I'll see up to 18 and make some exceptions for special needs, older patients. One of the only pediatric dentists that goes to the hospital. I actually, another project, I just agreed to help lead and manage the dental program at Texas Children's, the new North Austin hospital campus. So I'm
Wow.
super excited about that. Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So we don't have a brick and mortar dental clinic yet. That's in the plans for next year. But in the meantime, I'm managing all their, patients that need dental work through Texas Children's, and then also helping to create like a community referral system so that other practices in the community that need to send their kids for hospital care can go to the hospital and get the care that they need. And so we'll see up to 21 in the hospital, and sometimes you'll see older kiddos there too. But yeah, it's just hard. There's this gap in pediatric dentistry where it's like most pediatric dentists feel comfortable with, primary teeth, and then you get to this point where these kids are still young and they still need a lot of coaching and behavior management and often
You
sedation
form those
services.
relationships with them too, so
Yeah,
I bet
and
it's
form
very
these
emotional.
relationships, and but then they get these like really adult dentition needs,
Yeah.
and then most pediatric dentists are like, I don't know, like I'm not doing permanent crowns, and I feel grateful having done a GPR. I do a lot of surgeries, and so I'll do, some of those cases and take them on. But so I'm, actively trying to, train my doctors that are in our group to be able to feel more comfortable with the adult dentition too. But it's hard, even though we love seeing some of these older teenagers, sometimes their just needs are so adult, endo, perio, other stuff that we have to send them out. And it gets hard for those families of children with special healthcare needs because to date, it's only been you either have to go to San Antonio or Houston or go really far away. So my hope is that we can at Texas Children's be able to accommodate, some of those families who haven't been able to have care in other places.
Awesome.
That is really impressive. I don't know how
Wow.
you have enough time in a day to get to all of these really amazing responsibilities.
I've decided that you have a twin or a triplet and that you're identical, and we are just talking to one
Yes,
version of
you, and you'll never know which one, but usually she'll have a glass of wine in her hand when you see her
Yep.
that way.
It's all coming together now.
I want to go kind of on the flip side of office culture. And it's something that you've mentioned to me in the past, which I really love, is the radical candor and crucial conversations. And I say flip side because I guess you're having to use these philosophies and these ideas to have harder conversations in terms of how you're giving feedback and how you're coaching your team. I think that's hard for any doctor at any practice, any business model, really, practice style. Can you tell me a little bit about just like the bullet points maybe of how you approach that in your practice?
And that's you definitely have to ask him about this too, because he actually got to give a lecture with Emily Gregory, the author of Crucial Conversations, at a conference last year. So he got,
Wow. Okay.
he met her. They like did all this work together to create a whole presentation. So he gave it in front of like 1,000 people. And it was really cool that we both had read the book, but to kind of go through it again and really play out scenarios that related to the dental field was, just a really cool experiment. But yeah, to us, radical candor is one of our core values and our core principles at Kids Tooth Team and Alcan. And the thought is that you're caring personally while challenging directly. And the thought process of the compliment sandwich, and I think stuff that we're trained, like just be nice and maybe throw in a little whatever in the middle,
Yeah.
it
Kind of tie it
detracts.
up in a nice package.
A nice package and then like run away, right? You're just like, let me tell you this, and then not be here to talk through any feedback. It just, it's we're used to it, so we feel comfortable with it. But in reality, like fluffing it up so much, sometimes it just detracts from what the heart of what you're trying to get to and say. And so again, we kind of speak directly to each other here. And I think that's, it is hard for people to get used to, hey, I need this, not this. This is something that I noticed this happened. This is why it can't happen again. And it's not, we're not being mean, we're not being aggressive, but it's just, I think that that intent and that intensity sometimes it's just hard for new people who haven't experienced that maybe to get used to. But the approach is always like giving good feedback, being curious, not being critical. We want it to be a dialogue and explain what it is that we need and what we need their help with. And I think an important piece of that is always giving that feedback in real time. So of course, your assistant does something you didn't like, you're not gonna like berate them in front of a patient or even other team members. But as soon as that op appointment is over, you're gonna pull them in. Hey, I noticed room, wasn't set up. Remember this, this is how we do XYZ. Do you have any questions about that? I think a lot of dentists will like write all this stuff down, or they'll keep it in their head until their quarterly review. And then it's just that they can't even remember what it was that they did.
Right.
And it's just not nearly as productive and effective as if you just do those kind of things in real time. So we just always try and be direct with each other. We try and be, kind and, but like, give each other the feedback that you actually need to improve and progress. And what's her name? Brené Brown. Like, to be clear is kind, right? So I love how she kind of expresses that too. Just, I want to be clear about my intentions, about what I need, because if I'm not clear, you don't know what your role or responsibility
You're
is. You
not
don't know.
guessing as like the person who's receiving some of this
Exactly.
feedback,
And you don't know
which
that you did
brings
anything
me,
wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, which actually brings me, it goes right in hand with what we're talking about. Well, I'm an associate at a practice and you have associate doctors too. So how are you having them get involved with leadership and having these conversations with staff, maybe? Like, what is the role of an associate in your office?
Yeah, and it's something that I have conversations with them about, because one of the biggest mistakes too is some people do not want that leadership responsibility. Some people do. So if you're making assumptions about things that people do and do not want without asking them, that's not fair to them either. So if you're mad at an associate that they're not taking more leadership and ownership of something, but you've never had a conversation with them about, what their goals are for their associateship or their position in your office, then that's on you. So, I think it's important to talk to them. What can you handle? What kind of leadership do you want to take on? What are skills that you do want to develop professionally so that you can, be the best leader of your team and that you can possibly be? And so, I think that's, not everyone wants partnership, not everyone wants ownership. Some people do, that's their goals. And so we really try and, be upfront about what are your goals and expectations, and what do you want to take on? What do you not feel comfortable with? And then there's things that, that I don't deal with. So there, some of the HR things, are my practice managers, my regional managers, like they're the ones who are gonna take care of those things. So, there are things that we direct our doctors, like, hey, this is not a doctor thing. Like, you just tell whoever about it, and we're gonna help manage it and take care of it. But obviously, like, being kind to the team, knowing that, we're in an industry right now where we're always training new people because there's a shortage of dental assistants and team members. And so I think I feel like it's part of my associate's responsibility to continue to help me train the new team members that we have, on board, and give them productive and constructive feedback as they're learning how to do treatment, or, learning if they just got their coronal or sealant polish, to check those for us to make sure that everything's safe and great for the patients. And so, yeah, I think but I feel like mentoring my new doctors is part of my role as the owner of the practice, and even the practices that join Alcan, they're still the owners of their own practice, but there's things that they want help or need help with. And so kind of going in and figuring out how can we make you the best provider, the most well-run office you can possibly be, and it just being a conversation with them too.
Does that sometimes include auditing their current staff or?
Yeah, that's, HR, it's like one of the main reasons people want Alcan to help, is that they're just so run down with the HR and, like, dealing with the day-to-day every stuff of people, yeah, not showing up or calling in late or not following the rules or not understanding what their culture is and not having the layers of accountability and systems in place. So it's the doctors dealing with all the time off requests and dealing with everything. And so that's one of the first things that we put in place, or just these kind of, okay, this is a structure of how an office should go. Like, you're going to report, this person reports to the office manager, the office manager reports to the regional manager. I think that's something that most offices don't realize, that even if you have an office manager, who's making sure the office manager is doing the things they need to be doing, who's overseeing the reports that they're running. And so just having that additional, yeah, again, layer of accountability between it is really helpful. And but yeah, it's like, we kind of come in and we have a culture check with the office, like, who is fitting in with the culture here. Sometimes offices are just so overstaffed because they don't have the right systems in place. And so we use CareStack as our practice management software. So much is automated through that that we don't need, our offices don't need like three people doing pre-auths and checking, because we just, we have that all taken care of and automated. So it's kind of, the first things we'll do, go in, what is everyone's role? You maybe don't need five front desk people and, like, three checkout people. They might, those kind of things we help them with and help them figure out those systems. And then from there, then it's like a culture check-in, who fits in here, cares about the team, is not just all about them, and that kind of stuff. So that's usually what some of the first things that we do. But we never go in and just, like, fire everyone or nothing like that.
Right,
It's
clean
just
house.
like, yeah, exactly. No, it's like, yeah, it's like the doctor's the owner, so we're still, taking direction of what they want. But
Their
I
vision.
think, yeah, sometimes they just need that outside eye. I
Yeah.
feel like they know that it's not working, but some of these people have been with them for so long, and it's just so hard, and we get that. And maybe that's not the right position for them within the office. But often those people, once those decisions are made, the fit is right, they realize how much happier they are, how much less stressful it is to have people who
Yeah.
are, maybe toxic to the culture, or, just not a right fit for the environment. And so that, even in a year, like when our practice joined a year ago, like right now, we finally got like this perfect team in place, and we just had a call with them yesterday, and he's just, you can tell how happy he is to have like all the right systems and people. And yeah, and it's just, he
Like
doesn't.
a weight is taken off.
Exactly. Yeah. Just, you don't have to come in and be stressed like someone's not going to show up, because again, that's not the culture we have. Like, people are showing up unless something is really, really wrong. And we believe them if that happens. It's not like, they don't feel
Come to
good
sit,
after a weekend
come to work with
without.
COVID. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
So speaking of HR, I know now since you guys have gotten a lot bigger with multiple locations, you're not the one directly over like managing these HR issues. But back when you had the one office, and I'm sure you were wearing a lot of hats as you still do. What are you looking for when like a resume comes on your desk? Because you've worked so hard to create this office culture, and I can see it in the way that you're speaking about it. So you don't want to disturb that ecosystem by bringing someone in who isn't quite meshing. How have you like gotten better maybe at vetting people that you're hiring?
Yeah, it's trial and error. And again, that's something I felt so grateful that Tim is doing this with me, because even when we first started our first office, he had hired like thousands, maybe not thousands, hundreds and hundreds of people. And so things that were automatic red flags to him, it didn't even occur to me, but until he like pointed out, like, that's a huge red flag. Obviously, if you're like asking them, why they left their last job, and all they can talk about is how bad their boss was. And it's like stuff that, on a first glance, you wouldn't hear the things they're saying, but you can read between the lines a lot better now that we've done a lot of interviews. But really, I mean, it's just kindness and personality and ability to be coached and be open to that feedback. And, for us now, it's really hard to hire dental assistants who already have all their certifications, already have years of experience. So we're at the point where we're hiring people like literally the week they finish dental assisting school. And we have a really rigorous onboarding and training program now that it's literally taken us like 2.5 years to develop. We brought in an adult education theory expert to develop a whole training platform for us that was meant, like, first it started out just because we realized how much we needed this in our offices, and then it's actually, going to be a part of Alcam, but we're actually creating another thing, an app. And so this app is going to be out in the UK later this year, and then we're going to bring it to the States. But it's basically like a dental education training platform, starting with the front desk and then bringing it out to RDAs, doctors, everyone on the whole team. Because we realize, like, you have to be coachable, you have to be the personality, but we can train the skills, right? So we can train you in culture, we can train you in the clinical parts of it, as long as you're open and self-aware and open to, feedback in that way. And so this education app is super cool and powerful, because they have to critique themselves. Where am I at on this skill? And then their coach will also give them a score. So if they think they're a 4 in the culture department, but the trainer thinks they're a 2, then there's a discrepancy there
Why
that
is
we need
there?
to address. But if you think you're a 2 and the coach thinks you're a 2, that's like perfect. We know everyone's a 2, and let's get up to a 4 in this skill. And we realize too, it's like, in order to do better, they have to know better. They have to know, it's like, I've hired dental assistants who just, I turn around, they're doing sterile with no gloves on. Like, what? Okay, you think I wouldn't have to tell you, you have to put gloves on to like sterilize these, put them in the sterilizer, and just stuff that, like, even the most basic, simple things that we take for granted. I just think we have to go back to like ground zero, explain everything, and not just like, you wear gloves, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, we want to keep you safe, we want to keep the patients safe, like, kind of the background on why we have, these philosophies. And Coach K, he's a basketball coach, and he came and did a big lecture at one of the meeting we went to last year. And so he has this whole philosophy of, you have values, and then you have, gosh, I'm like, I should have looked at this before. We might have to edit this part out.
Basketball, basketball,
basketball.
basketball.
I'm like, I know nothing about sports, but I love this. It's like, okay, you have rules, and then you have values. And so it's like, okay, our rule might be, whatever. Every parent deserves to know that their kid has the option of white or silver crowns in our office. And that's the rule. But the value is, like, we feel like it's important for parents to be informed about their decisions for their kids. And so I'm not gonna, as a provider, make the decision that because you have Medicaid, I'm gonna assume you can't afford this, and so I'm not even gonna offer it to you. I'm gonna say, these are the options for you. I'm happy to do whichever you prefer. I just feel like you deserve to know that there's a choice. And so we kind of have those values behind every thing that we do in our offices, whether that's our philosophy and our treatment care, or our assistants. Hey, we stand up and we greet families when they come in the office. We offer them a coffee. Those are our rules. And it's because we want them to feel welcome. We want this to be a different hospitality industry focused experience for these families. And so, instead of us saying you have to do this and that, it's, we explain the value and the reasoning
The
behind why
why,
we're
yeah.
doing that.
The why. Yeah. How do you you have a lot of standardization across your practices. And so and that's really so that, the patients are looking for, the same treatment they get at Buda Kids Tooth Team and Pflugerville Kids Tooth Team. But you have a lot of different personalities in every office. How do you help maintain that standardization and that level of care, but allow them to still have their individual, put their individual flair on it?
Yeah, for sure. And that's, for as far as doctors go, I have an onboarding guide that really dives into who we are, the patients that we serve, what our philosophy of care is. We use Overjet in our practices, which is an AI radiographic interpretation system. And not only does it interpret radiographs and help with diagnosing decay, it also gives you some really important metrics on treatment planning rates and case acceptance rates for all of our doctors. And so I can at a glance, look and see, do I have doctors that are treatment planning 30% more than everyone else in the practice? Or do I have doctors that have case acceptance rates that are way lower or higher? And so, on a bigger scale, helps me to see like if we're all in kind of alignment with our treatment planning rates, what's going on. And I think it's really important in a group practice because, yeah, if a parent comes in and I say they need a filling, and then they come to someone else the next day and they say then they need a crown, and we're looking at the same x-ray and it's two totally different things, parents get really frustrated, and then they don't know who to trust, and then they just, trust whoever says what they perceive to be the
Everything.
least, yeah,
Yeah.
the cheapest thing or like the least invasive in their mind. And so, I don't ever. I'm not prescriptive in how we treatment plan things, but I'm like, we need to be on the same page of, okay, if a lesion is X past the DEJ, this is more when we're going to consider a crown. If it's this size, a composite's appropriate. For pediatric dentistry, it's a little bit more nuanced. Like if a kid needs anesthesia or sedation services, we're going to be more proactive and do a crown, even on a small cavity, because we don't ever want that kid to have to need to fix that tooth again. And so crowns have a 95% success rate, whereas fillings and baby teeth only have about a 50% success rate. So I'm not going to risk a filling popping out on a kid that has to be asleep in the hospital. Like they're going to get a crown, even though it's a little cavity. And so, the philosophy of how we approach care for pediatric dentistry is a little bit different than general dentistry. And most pediatric dentists are in alignment with some of those, but it's really dependent on your training. And there's, doctors who are trained in more research-focused residency programs that haven't had, the experience of treating these really high-risk kids in communities that don't have fluoride. And, I'm a community partner with St. David's Foundation. I'm their number one referral source. So like all the kids pretty much that they see on their dental vans get sent to a kids' tooth team if they need care. And these are kids who like will never see the dentist again. This is their one opportunity to come in, get free dental work. It has to be perfect. It has to be proactive. I'm not If you watch a cavity, there's no one to watch it. These kids never go to the dentist again. Like this is their only
It's
opportunity.
gone
So,
now. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So, we have to approach it differently. And so, because we treat really unique, special kind of patient populations in our office, it's something that I do spend a lot of time with our doctors. Like, again, not like, you have to do a crown here, you have to do a filling here. What it's not that. It's like these are the kids that we're seeing. This is why our approach to care is maybe different than other practices that you've worked at. This is a community that we live in. These are the needs of our patients. And I now that I've hired a lot of doctors, and it's now I'm just super honest and upfront with that from the start. So I'm like, if this is not in alignment with how you perceive pediatric dentistry and your philosophies of care, 100% no hard feelings, but it's just probably best if we don't move forward. And that was something that I didn't do when I started, because I just assumed all of us are the same and we approach care similarly, but I realized that that is not the case. And so there's no sense in saying like you're going to be okay with a doctor who does things way different than you if you're not going to be. And so now I feel like I'm super clear. I have it in like writing. I can explain it really well. And so I think that when I'm hiring and recruiting, I make sure that we're a good fit now before they even join the team. And so then once they're on board, it's easy to just kind of give that feedback like, hey, remember, this is a kid from this kind of patient population. We're going to approach care this way. And then everyone knows kind of the why behind it.
You touched on, oh, sorry, go on, Sarah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, so one thing I wanted to ask you about is you touched on Overjet, which we also use at my practice. How else are you incorporating AI into just daily dentistry or even admin stuff?
Yeah, I love talking. I actually just gave a webinar for the
I
Texas.
know, that's why I
Yes,
came
on the exam.
prepared.
Yes, exactly. That's like
We
I'm like,
did homework.
yes, no, that's like my most requested webinar right now is the AI in dentistry. So I'm
You
like,
guys get the drill down exclusive.
exactly. Yeah. Oh, and no, but it's so friendly. I actually just got asked to do it at the California big meeting. And yeah, it's really, and it's all about, I talk about practical AI because, yeah, I mean, like, yes, there's robots doing fillings, but that's not very practical. So what are we, you know, how are you using it? Yeah, the things I typically talk about in my lectures and we use in our practices. So Overjet and Pearl are, you know, the two big radiographic ones. I picked Overjet because they are FDA cleared for kids 4 and above. Obviously, as a pediatric dentist, I need to be able to see kid X-rays. And I like that they're owned by dentists and operated by dentists. And it's just, it's a more dental focus than a tech company. And so, and I think
I
people
actually
don't
want to ask,
realize,
sorry,
yeah.
small follow-up question. Is there those other companies, are they able to, create AI that's a little bit more aggressive in how it's diagnosing? That was just a question I had, but
That is interesting. No, I haven't. There's nothing that I've seen. I think that when people perceive it to be aggressive, you know, it's going to show you everything, right? So it's going to show you incipient lesions. It's going to have some false positives. It's not perfect, you know, and it's not meant to diagnose. It's just meant to be, hey, this is a second set of eyes. Why don't you double check that incipient or like that interproximal area? Sometimes if they have really deep grooves or abrasions or, you know, things like that, sometimes they'll pick it up as a radiolucent possible decay. So it's never going to substitute. Like you still have to look at the tooth. But, you know, even sometimes there's those occlusals where clinically you don't see anything. The enamel's completely intact, but then there's that, you know, puff into the dentin that you see on the X-ray. And so I feel like it's really helped me for those, making sure I'm not missing that. It's really accurate with interproximal lesions. And so I feel like I do trust it a lot there. The angle of the X-ray matters, your sensor quality matters, and so you still have to put good input to get good output. And I'll have my assistant take a couple X-rays, like not get it right the first time, and then get a good bite wing, and you'll be able to see things, obviously, if the X-ray is more clear. So, you know, I think people, yeah, I can see, yeah, it's not 100% perfect, but what the studies that I think are interesting from Overjet is that they found that on average, dentists are missing about 40% of cavities, which is kind of horrifying, right? Like almost half of decay. And is that because, again, they don't have the tools to see it? Are they, you know, potentially just monitoring things that, you know, maybe we could have planned SDF for or done some sort of proactive care for? And, you know, so I think, and they found that dentists who use AI tools, they say, diagnose 100% more, which I don't like that phrase, but what I say in my webinar is they miss 100% less, right? Like you're going to miss less disease, which is really the goal. It's not to diagnose more, it's to miss less. And so I think having some of these tools, and if you miss one less restoration that was, you know, past a DEJ that needs treatment, one a day, something like that's going to pay for itself. And so, and so we get tired. Like we see 40, 50 patients a day, your eyes get tired, you know, so just like to have that reassurance and that second set of eyes that I'm not missing anything has been really helpful for me. And then it's been really helpful from a team calibration standpoint, because if I do have someone who's treatment planning way more or way less than the average of the group, I can go into their Overjet platform. I can click on X-rays that they, you know, diagnose to see what it was that they said, instead of going through a million charts to try and like get this evidence to talk to them about. And then it's really nice because it's like all objective. I can say, hey, on average, you're treatment planning 30% more than everyone. Tell me what you think is going on here. And, you know, and then we can talk about why that is and what's going on. And so it's not me feeling saying, well, I think you're being aggressive. It's, well, Overjet is, you know, identifying
Impartial.
that there's a pattern here, right? And yeah, so that's been really helpful for me. And so I think people don't realize like Overjet, and they have more than just the radiographic part of it. They have those tools. So they have like opportunity platforms. So like, you know, anything that was maybe, you know, identified as potential decay and missed the last time that can pop up in the X-rays. So because they look at the last 18 months of X-rays, they're really working on like predictive analytics for billing and being able to do like billing in real time, because the reality is all the insurance companies also use these platforms to automate the approval process. And so they're really trying to work with the insurance companies to make that billing process e easier to get authorizations approved in real time. You know, part of me is so skeptical about it because I just think insurance companies just want to do everything they can not to pay
Did
us.
not.
And so
Yes.
I think that it would be a beautiful, wonderful thing if that could happen. But I think that's part of that. But we, our voice systems are all AI. We use a VoiceStack as our phone system. It's the world's first AI phone system for dentistry. So we were the first practice in the whole world to use VoiceStack. We beta tested it in our Kyle office, which is where I am right now. And it's so cool. So AI, basically is listening to the phone call. It when the patient calls, their chart automatically pops up because it can identify who that patient is by their number, obviously. And so from the beginning, like, what a better patient experience. Hi, Mrs. Smith. Of course, you still do the HIPAA stuff. Like, can you verify name and date of birth? But oh, I see Sarah's due for her 6-month checkup. Is that what you're calling about? What a better customer service experience right from the beginning. And then the AI basically, listens, transcribes the phone conversation so that you can paste it in the patient's memos. And so if there's whatever situation, I can go and easily look and see what the transcript said. And then it
You don't
also,
even have like the in quote stuff because this is really just like verbatim from the phone call into your chart note.
there's that option. They do typically summarize it, like the caller expressed whatever the phone receptionist said, blah blah blah. So it summarizes it, but then you also have the ability to go in and like actually listen to the whole thing if you wanted to. And then it rates the caller too. So like you scored a 10, 7 out of 10 on this call, and kind of gives them some feedback. And so that's actually where our app, the EduStack app that we're creating, that's going to be out in the UK, started playing off of that part of AI, because we realized, like, okay, this is so great. You have all this information. VoiceStack was amazing. We were realizing, you think you answer all your phone calls, but we're so good about it. It gets rerouted everywhere, and we were still missing a lot of phone calls. And they've done studies that if it goes to voicemail, 50% of them will just not even call you back. And so if you're missing, that's like a huge opportunity. They're just going to call the next office and go get a new patient exam there. So we realized VoiceStack was so incredible. It's the first thing that we implemented all of our Alcan practices when they join. But there was sort of this missing link of, okay, you have all this information, it's rated your caller, but then what? Then you still have to have someone come in and coach them and guide them with this information. And so our EduStack app actually uses AI to role play with the caller, the front desk, basically after that. And so, hey, okay, sounds like these were the things you forgot to mention. Our new patient special. The tone could have been a little bit warmer when they called. Why don't we role play that same exact situation together, and then we can like practice. And so, and then the AI, our app, will also give them a scripted, like, okay, this 2-minute video is a great video that is actually applicable to like this skill that we're working on. And so we're using AI to role play, and then also the app is going to basically, it's all like gamified. And so the team member would, log in every day, sort of like a Duolingo kind of feel, get rewarded and badges as they progress their skills through this app and dental education platform. And then, what a great way to, okay, this is your 90-day onboarding. And then after that, if you get these badges, that's when you qualify for a raise or a bonus or whatever. And so we're using AI for our new app to do that a lot. So VoiceStack's one AI component to our practices. The EduStack app education platform that we're building is another big one. And then I've started using AI note taking for my patients too, which is really cool. So I basically have a lapel mic on. It listens to my whole, just a conversation with the family, and it has all my prompts. And so, when I'm doing an exam, I call out, okay, Mallampati 1, Brodsky 2, I see caries on 3-occlusal. The treatment plan is, 3-occlusal composite under nitrous. And it basically, as long as I verbalize and vocalize that, it puts it all in the note. It has a summary. And so then instead of sitting there for, 2 hours at the end of the day, my note is already done basically as soon as I'm done with the exam. And so, yeah, I've been still working through some of the kinks on that, but it's like it's so close and it's almost there. And so that's super exciting. And then, yeah, just ChatGPT is another way we use AI. I think people don't, it's totally underutilized, I think, in the dental setting. Do you have outdated office guides and manuals that, ChatGPT can basically help create all of that? I use it to respond to 1-star reviews because I like lose my mind about them, and I sit and obsess over them for like
I want to
days.
ask you about the Google reviews, actually. So, because I mean, I've lost my mind over them too, and it's very hard when you're practicing and you go to work every day, wanting to take care of your patients, and sometimes you fall flat, and you really can't please everyone. How seriously how much weight do you give a Google review, particularly a bad Google review? Like how much is there that you're taking for improvement? And how close to the vest are you taking that feedback or keeping that feedback?
too close, probably. Me and the therapist just like talk about Google reviews, probably.
Agreed.
Just
You might want to tell Tim that he needs to add that as a service offering in the app.
Certainly the event.
I mean, it's really difficult because you really put your heart and soul into the
They
product.
actually are building sort of like a wellness, like, do you need a wellness check-in on the app? That is kind of a thing because, yeah, we just, you deal, and, I know general dentists do this too, but like pediatric people are just like understandably so, they're emotional about their kids. It sometimes we're delivering hard news, like you have 8 cavities and your kid needs to be asleep for the treatment. And like, these aren't easy conversations to have. And sometimes parents, I get it. They, it's just, hard conversation. And so it's how you approach that and being kind and compassionate is so important. And so we do, a lot of verbal coaching on some of those more difficult conversations. But yeah, sometimes we're
Do you
humans
have
too.
those conversations yourself, or do you have the office manager do it?
Yeah, typically our doctors will, if it's not just like I treatment planned 8 crowns, general anesthesia, and then I
Yeah.
walk away. It's just like, because it is a conversation with the families. I think being, we have a really proactive approach to care at our offices. I'm not gonna watch things past a certain point, and I feel like it's my job to be honest with these families, even if it is an enamel lesion. We don't use minimizing language in our office. I don't say like, it's a small spot, don't worry, because the parents don't hear anything. They think everything's fine, and then they're shocked when they come back in 6 months and this small spot is into the pulp and needs to be extracted. And so, we're really intentional with the words that we use. There is a cavity in the first layer of your tooth. If we don't drastically change our habits, start flossing, cut out those fruit snacks, like brushing, by the next time we see you, it's definitely gonna need treatment. So, like, I want to put you on high alert so that we can change what we're doing at home and help prevent this from growing. I have SDF. We have some tools that we can use to help stop it from growing if you're interested. Because I think, it's called approval addiction of these doctors who, like, they're so afraid to deliver this news or afraid of the parents' reaction to it that they just ignore things that maybe shouldn't be ignored, or just, use that
That compliment
mentality,
sandwich you talked
the
about
compliment sandwich,
earlier.
minimize it, don't worry, don't,
Yes.
And so that goes there.
I was going to say, I have an observation that there is clearly nowhere to hide in a kid's tooth team environment, whether you're the patient or an employee. With the amount of AI and systems that you guys have in place, everything is super clear. And so I wonder, AI is booming right now, and you might have employees that you hired 5 years ago, or, I'm not sure of the timeline, but like someone that may not be as forward-thinking, as you need them to be. So how have you dealt with maybe the hesitancy of the adopters, and if that feels threatening to anyone, to have all of this, you can dive into their workday and tell them what they did probably
Better than they could.
better than they can. I worry, or not worry, but I wonder about, does that bring up any conflict, and like how you deal with this fast-paced technology advancement that might be faster than the human that works for you.
That is a great point. And that's something that I feel like all the people who have been with us a long time are just like similar to Tim and I, in the sense that like they know no day is going to be the same. We're always, one of our core values is always happy, never satisfied. Like, we're always happy with where we are, but we can always be better. There's always something, a new tool out there that can help us improve the patient experience, improve our jobs, make us more efficient. And we do beta test a lot for like these national companies. I'm beta testing products or beta testing services. Because I want to be, help part of that decision maker on making these products wonderful and what we need them to be in our offices too. And some of that does come with stress, because if you're beta testing a new X-ray system and platform, and it just is a little bit slower and cuts into some of the time that you've dedicated and you already have a really busy schedule, sometimes it can feel frustrating to the team. And so I think it's one, I personally beta test everything in our practices before it goes out to any other practice. So it's not going out to Alcan until I've made sure that it's perfect. I have all the systems in place. So I'm using like my most experienced team and team members to try these things out and figure out all the kinks. I think practices make a mistake when they just buy Overjet and then they give it to their office manager and they're like, okay, figure it out. Here it is. And There's no system, again, like in place for it. Yeah, but we definitely have had people who are like, y'all are crazy. You do too much. Like, this is a lot, and there's so much technology and all these things. And like, honestly, they're just not a great fit for our team if that's how they feel. And they don't share in our vision of, our mission and our vision is to expand the availability of children's or ex no, sorry, I have to edit this part out too, but to enhance the quality and expand the availability of children's oral health care in our community. And so everything that we do revolves around that. And so we expand our availability by starting a new office or having the outreach program, and we enhance the quality of the care we're providing by using this technology. And so, again, everything goes back to what we're driving forward in our profession and elevating pediatric dentistry. And so, yeah, there are team members who are like, oh, another thing, but we're super intentional about it. We do so much research before we even consider using it in our practices. And then we're not like, we just don't switch systems a lot either. So it's like we're only bringing in things that really are going to help us with a specific problem and or going to enhance something that we're already using. But I think that's the problem with most dentists is they're like, well, we've always used Dentrix, so I don't want to switch from. Well, it's like Dentrix isn't doing anything for you. It's not helping your practice at all. It's not a good patient experience. So like, why are you still on Dentrix other than the fact that you just are too, that you're afraid to move on to something better? And so that's just not how we are, and we're always going to be trying to improve and make it better for everyone. But
I think there's a lot of power and value to like saying no and like kind of deciding earlier on, like maybe we're not a good fit and not everyone has to be a part of our mission and our company. And
it's
so,
hard. Yeah, you
yeah.
people, you love these people. You have, especially, you have your first practice, and you have these team members that like I would literally do anything for. I will pick. Help pick your kids up, or lend you my car for 2 weeks, or whatever you need. We kind of realized too that there's two kinds of team members almost. There's like people who maybe will be with you really early on, help you start up something, but as soon as you expand or grow, they're not that kind of team member that wants to grow with you or expand. They like being in their safety net of like predictable. And there's plenty of practices for people like that, and that's just not who we are. It's not who we've ever been. Our growth, we've always had this growth mindset, and not growing for the sake of growing, but growing because we truly believe we're the best, pediatric dentists out there. We're providing the best jobs and helping people, be the best, clinicians and practitioners that they can be. And so we feel passionate about that. And so it's easy for us to like be like, well, this is our vision. And but yeah, not everyone has that vision, and that's okay. And we
That's
just, yeah, and that's okay. We free up their future for someone else. Yeah.
one thing, I'm going to switch gears completely and ask you about your work-life balance and
Oh,
working with your spouse. So you
yeah.
guys have been doing this for a long time together and you're married and you have a family. And I think a lot of people want to know how you make that work and, haven't bitten each other's heads off yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, the 10-minute practice, radical candor with each other, which makes people uncomfortable in the office sometimes. And like, we'll just be like talking and like thinking through a problem. And then, it's like, but we just are passionate. And so people like walk by, I'm like, are they fighting? We're like, no, we're just, this is like how we talk to each other. And like, work-life balance is hard, but I could very easily say no to like the leadership stuff that we do, or taking on this like role at Texas Children's Hospital or our outreach program. And that's just not the kind of dentist that I wanted to be. It's important for me to be involved in advocacy and leadership in our community. And my
And
work-life
tell
balance.
me also about the outreach with Kids
Yes.
Tooth Team. I've saved the best for last.
Yes, exactly. No, we'll definitely talk about that. But like, I wouldn't be happy that, I don't know. I just feel like we've been given this gift to be able to help kids, and I feel like we have to use this and do everything that we can and give back to our communities and, pay it forward to all these people in the wonderful community that we live in. And so yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I wake up, like I do 2 or 3 anesthesia days like a week, so I'm up at 5. I'm at the office until 6, and then I get home. I like have my 6 to 7:30 blocked up in my calendar. This is like only time for my kids. I want to be with them for that full, hour and a half before they go to bed. And then Tim and I work for another 2 or 3 hours after the kids are in bed. So there's like, it is just, it's constant. But it never feels burdensome because these projects we're so passionate about and we get so excited about them that I know how much we're contributing and how much it means. And so yeah, I
And that
don't
gives you
think,
the drive.
yeah, exactly. So it doesn't, I don't know that we necessarily have work-life balance. Luckily, we've become like friends with a lot of people like in the profession too. So even if we're like it's a work dinner technically, but we're friends with, the people that we, and I think you kind of draw people into your circle too who are the same as you and have similar things going on. And even these conferences that we go to, we've become, friends with the CEO of CareStack and Jazz Sensors and some of these, Sprigg Oral Health Technologies, like some of these companies that we really love working with. And so it becomes fun even if we're like technically at a conference or doing a work event. But yeah, and the spouse thing's interesting. I think that because we're so different, like I'm 100%, the clinical decisions are me, the business decisions are him. There's this really good divide. I think it would probably be really hard to be like a two dentist couple and like trying to, talk about that. So it's like he just defers all that to me. And so yeah, and it's nice now that we have all these other like regional and office managers and everyone that kind of a lot of those responsibilities are now on other people so that we can focus on the like the vision and the higher level kind of strategy behind what we're doing.
And tell me a little bit about that outreach you do with kids.
Yeah. So yeah, Kids Tooth Team Outreach is our nonprofit branch. St. David's Foundation, which is the largest dental nonprofit in the country. They have a fleet of 10 plus now dental vans. And every so often as they upgrade their fleet, they'll donate one of their dental vans to a nonprofit that's in alignment with their vision. And so back in 2021, we got to be that nonprofit that they donated a van to. And it's crazy. We actually flew. We were just interested. We lived in the RV. We had like always been interested sort of like in mobile dentistry. And so Tim started, he went to a mobile dentistry conference, started talking to people, and someone was like, I think it was our Burkhart rep, also serviced the St. David's vans. And he's like, let me put you in contact with them so you can ask them questions. We ended up flying down here from Alaska to look at the St. David's vans and their program. And that was when I met Shaylee for the first time, Dr. Gupta. And so just like she was my first friend here in Austin, and just, she'd give us a tour of the vans and then, come to find out that they were going to donate a van. And she really championed us to be the, the platform that got the donated van. And so based St. David's Foundation really services like the, main Austin area, kind of the urban Austin. And then so we decided we're going to go to the outskirts. We go to like Lockhart, Dale, Elgin, and some of the surrounding communities that St. David's hasn't gotten a chance to service. And so we basically partner with local elementary schools, provide free dental care to kids in need. We've donated over $600,000 of free dental care since we opened in to 2021. And yeah, basically it's just all volunteer based. It's like funded by Tim and I. We're like trying to figure out grants, like grant writing, it's its own whole thing. And so we're trying to figure out, grants to apply to. And because right now we are sort of the hindrance of it growing and expanding. So just trying to figure out, yeah, how we get those donations. Volunteers are always hard. So shameless plug for anyone who wants to come volunteer on our van. I'm trying to get the fall schedule together actually right now, but a lot of our CADS doctors are like some of our best volunteers, like Dr. Emily Conley, Dr. Ann Lyon are always like every semester, they're two people I can always count on. So we have some like just really wonderful people in our network that have really helped, but it's a great like team experience too. You bring your assistants, bring people, and just really, sometimes we forget why we got into dentistry, and you get out in the van, you see these kids who really need help and care. And it's Tim's actually like favorite thing that we do. He just at least once a semester he'll go just hang out on the van and to see these kids. And it's just sad. Even if they have Medicaid, their families can't take off work to bring them to our office. And so, I'll see these kids and abscesses, pain. They'll literally 5-year-olds asking me to take their teeth out because they're hurting. And I'll call these parents after and say, hey, all you have to do is bring them to my office. I do all the dental work. I'll do their dental work for free. My anesthesia team will donate an anesthesia case. You just have to get them here and they'll never call me back. And so it's like, some of these parents just have so many barriers to care. And, and that's something I realized when I lived in Alaska, like we literally fly these kids in from the villages to get the care in Anchorage, fly them back. And, just, I don't think people realize that even 30 minutes outside of Austin, there's these kids with extensive needs that really need help. And even if they have insurance, it doesn't mean that they have access to a dentist. And so I just feel like what we do on there is awesome. And we have a nitrous van, we have two, fully operated chairs, a piano machine. So we can do almost everything that I can do in the office, we can do on the van. And, but that said, even if you're a volunteer who doesn't normally see kids, we can set up a hygiene day where we just do all the hygiene checks. And then usually the second day, like me or one of my pediatric dentists will go and do the work. But, for our dentists who do see kids, just you can even do, sealants, doing whatever. So yeah, we'd love to have any volunteers come help on the van, but it's our passion project, completely just a way to give back to the community. And, just after seeing so many kids come into my office with actual cellulitis and facial swellings and be in pain, I kind of started identifying some of these areas where, like, I know there's no one there and these kids are coming to me. And these are the kids that parents can get them to my office. And I just knew if, like, there's this many kids, there's just going to be kids who aren't getting any care at all. So it's been super rewarding and something that I hope we can keep growing. And we partner with the Texas Pre-Dental Society, so they get to come out on the vans. They get dental shadowing experience and leadership experience. And I'm like, even if I just teach you how to talk to a kid and, like, ask them about their day. And I think that this next generation of dentists doesn't, it's going to be a different kind of thing. And so I'm like, hey, dentistry is a people profession. You have to talk, you have to make people feel comfortable. So even if that's the only thing that we practice while you're here on the van, I know it's cool to see me do an extraction, but, like, let's practice talking and, doing that kind of stuff.
Being
So,
the patient
like,
attached to the tooth.
exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. There's a person here.
I'm going to switch gears for a second
There you
and
go.
ask you about a very controversial subject for dentists.
Oh,
Are you
man.
ready?
I don't know if I am.
Ice cream.
Oh, ice cream. Well, I personally think ice cream is the best thing you could possibly give your child.
Talk to me about ice cream.
Even so, yes, full disclosure, we are starting an ice cream store in Buda,
Is
Texas.
this just a
She's not just obsessed
pipeline?
with ice cream,
Are
guys.
you making a pipeline to
I
your
was like, I
offices?
don't know how the community is going to feel about, like, their local favorite pediatric dentist ice cream. But, like, it's not like a saltwater taffy store, like that's my one thing. I'm like, they're
We're
not
putting fluoride in the ice cream.
exactly. Yeah, but exactly. There's fluoride toothpaste flavored ice cream.
There
Okay.
you go.
Exactly. Yeah, it won't be mint. We should call it, like, Crest flavored.
Toothpaste.
Yeah,
You should.
exactly. No, but honestly, before even that, I would always tell parents, like, I'd rather your kid, like, ice cream is a better treat. A piece of chocolate is a better treat than, like, the sticky. If your kid never got gummy vitamins or juice again for the rest of their life, that would make me really happy. But no, we live in Buda. Tim's on the Economic Development Council and was on the Chamber of Commerce. And, like, we just, I don't know, we love our community. We walk downtown all the time. It's getting so cute. It's really going to turn into, like, the next Wimberley, I feel like. In Buda, we got antique shops, like, nice restaurants. Every time we walk around, we're like, why is there not an ice cream store here? Like, we want to bring our kids to go get ice cream because that's, as a family, like, Tim takes them to get a donut, as much as I hate that, every Saturday. And then, like, we love going to get ice cream on Sunday. And so, yeah, we said this literally for 5 years. And then finally, a guy was renovating his building on Main Street. And he's like, you know what would fit perfect in here
Main
is
Street's
an ice cream
fabulous.
shop. And someone's like, talk to the Ottos. They've been saying this forever. And so we're just like, you know what? We're going to figure it out. And so we went to an ice cream CEO course in
Oh my God.
Idaho. Yeah.
Of
And
course
so,
you did. Of course you did.
now we know all about the ice cream industry and, like, the difference in, like, gelato and whatever ice cream and, like, how you
That's for a
snack
different
is. Exactly. We'll talk
podcast.
all about ice cream next time, but we're super excited. The building's under construction, so we're thinking, like, December, January, it'll be open. But no, I'm like, I always give kids a popsicle when they get done with, like, an extraction or a heart procedure. So now they'll just get, like, a little token to go to the ice cream shop, and their parents will buy ice cream too. And yeah, so it'll be
Wow.
yes.
It's a pipeline direct, and then they're going to open a kids tooth team
Yeah.
directly next
Yeah, like,
across from one.
exactly. No, but now our kids get a choice. Like, you're gonna work when you're, whatever, 14. So you can go work in the ice cream shop, or you can go run sterile at the office. So
There you
now,
go.
no
There you
excuse.
go.
Yeah,
You heard it
exactly.
here first. Yeah, at the end of every podcast episode, we have a section that is a total play off of suction, and we call it What the Suck. And so here is your opportunity to answer the question, what has sucked in your journey? And how did you suck it up?
She's like, I think the suck, we alluded to this a little bit earlier. The suck is having to say goodbye to people that you love because they're not the right fit anymore for the practice, or them making the decision that they don't, feel like they're in alignment with the vision that you have. So yeah, it's like, I love all the people we work with. It's so, you get so attached, like, they become your family, you love them. So I think that's the suckiest part, is that as you grow and change and your vision continues to develop, that not everyone, necessarily wants to go on this ride with you. But that's, I think that even though, like, hurts your heart sometimes, like, say goodbye when it's not the right time anymore, knowing that every time that that's happened, someone even more incredible walks through our doors and joins our team and really shares and celebrates what we're doing and makes it all, worth it to know that we're growing and again, expanding care for kids and elevating the quality of our specialty. And so, yeah, I think that, we're as dentists, we're people pleasers. We want to be liked and we want to, everyone to understand what we're doing. And we talked about the Google reviews of like, it's hard to get that feedback sometimes, but I think
Not if you
being,
leave them a token to your ice cream shop.
yes, exactly. No, and that's part of the reason we the
I
ice cream is
solved
like,
that problem for
I'm like,
you.
can't do something that people aren't going to hate us for, exactly. Like, I don't want to come to the dentist. No, but I think it's, yeah, like learning from all that. And we talked about finish with the Google reviews too. It's just like, yeah, we learn from every single interaction, every person that it's a part of your story, every bad Google review, every good Google review, you take something from that and you grow and you become better. And so, yeah, I guess that would be the only thing because all of it else, I don't know. Honestly, it's just been so much fun to see this grow. I guess the other part of the suck is, yeah, patients not always understanding your vision and, knowing that you tried your best and you're trying to explain everything in the best possible way that sometimes it just, they don't understand the love that you're giving into all of this. But I know that as dentists, we take a lot of that emotional burden and stress from our patients. And I don't know, it's hard not to take all of that personally when somebody doesn't share in that or feels so strongly that they want to leave you a one-star review. But I think at the end of the day, knowing that we're in this for the people and serving our community, and not everyone's gonna, maybe appreciate it as much as like our colleagues do. But I think that, yeah, having a group like ours and CADS and the TDAs, having people you can talk to about this stuff has been really helpful for me too.
Awesome. Lastly, we kind of like to leave the audience with a tangible. Do you have a specific book, a person who is not your husband,
Yeah, exactly.
and or a CE course that you would recommend that has do the most that stands out?
I love the Creating Magic. It's like a leadership book from the Disney Institute. And so I think that's a great one just about customer service and hospitality that I usually recommend to people. Extreme Ownership is another great CE book that, we use and have sort of our leadership breed. For CE, yeah, that's hard. So Barry Olton he is the founder of, he's a dentist in the UK. The Confident Dentist is his brand. We're actually flying him over from the UK for our annual meeting in for Alcan for all of our practices. And he really goes into the psychology behind like how we're presenting plans and connecting with families and patients. And so he actually helped us do all of the little videos for our EduStacker app. And he's just a really cool, incredible dentist. And so he's got some really great like CE. So I'm actually super excited and proud that he's come in to give a CE at our meeting. But yeah, those are a couple. And then yeah, Tim is my other go-to for that. Not allowed to say him. Yeah. My
Well,
other
Dr. Otto,
hardcore.
it's been really incredible hearing your perspective. For listeners who want to hear more about you or connect with you offline, where can they find you?
Yes, you can email me at dralex@alcandentalcooperative.com. You can find me on social media. What is my hashtag? I think Alex Auto DDS is my Instagram. But yeah, happy to connect. And yeah, CADS leadership, so you can always reach out and I'll always be with CADS too.
We've
If you
super
enjoyed
enjoyed it.
Well, if you guys enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. See you on the next episode.